Hello, everyone. So excited so many people are interested in poop, because we all do it. One of you may struggle at festivals. You either don't poop for 3 days, or you can barely make it running to the toilet. Anyone in here familiar with this? Don't be shy, thank you. Yes. Me, myself, I struggled massively from digestive issues 6 years ago. No matter what I ate, I was massively bloated. And before, I was like, oh, I'm just self-conscious. You know, nobody really took me serious, no doctor. And I'm like, I'm just drinking water, and I look pregnant. And then people in the subway would offer me their seats, and I'm like, okay, I'll take it. Let's just not be uncomfortable, okay? And so then I went to different doctors. I went to heal practitioners, naturopath. I spent so much money. I'm like, I just want to eat. I love food. And it sucks when you eat something and you can't digest it. Yeah, or you have diarrhea, you can't poop, any of these things. And so I started studying the digestive system myself. I'm like, let me take this into my own hands. It's my body. It's telling me something is not right. So let me know how to deal with this. Yes? So for me, an invitation is that you start listening to your own body, because when I started this journey, I listened to so many bullshit things out there. Yeah, you go out on Instagram, you see all these people saying like, oh, drink apple cider vinegar in the morning, you'll feel better. Please don't. If you don't know what's happening with your stomach acid, don't just put that in. There's so many recommendations out there that are just for the general public, but you don't know what's happening in your body. Yeah? So, stop listening to all of this, and I want to give you a little bit an idea of what your body can actually tell you about your own digestion, so you can make the right decisions. Yeah, so let's talk about poop and different poop types. Let's start. Coming. So, someone of you may have seen this before. But let's start here. Probably at festivals, many of you have the rabbit poop. It's just little turds coming out. You're like, what is this? Am I a rabbit? Who had that here before? Come on, yes, thank you. I see you. Cool. What could that mean? What does it mean when it's just turds? So imagine poop should be a big sausage, like the perfect poop right here. If it doesn't come out like that, most likely you're dehydrated. There's not enough juiciness, moisture, to create a full sausage. So the little turds are coming out. If you think about the colon, anyone knows here what the colon looks like? It's this little bubbly thing that goes all around here. So now if there's not enough water in there, the little bubbles from the, it will dry up the poop. And every time you press and the little turds come out, it's just the little pockets from the colon. Yeah? So just so you can understand why it looks, it's not just magic turtle poop. It's there for a reason like that. So next time you poop like this, drink more water. It's really easy. It's not, no magic. Yeah, just more water needed. And the second one here, we have mild constipation, because this is already kind of screaming constipation, but you're still pooping. It's different from not pooping at all, yeah? But mild constipation, it may look like a sausage, but it still has the form of the colon. And you're like, interesting. What's this? That just means drink a little bit more water. And many people ask me, does it have to be water? Can it be something else? Yes, water. Ideally, it's the easiest. Make sure from a chemical perspective, it will take out most of the things with it. Okay? So no teas, no juices, no Coke. Yeah, no drink, Coke. Okay. So then let's talk about the perfect poop. Anyone had this here? I have not seen that many in the porta potties. I checked. I'm like, ooh, many people need this workshop. I hope everyone's coming. Yeah. Okay, so the perfect poop. Everyone does this really quick. Please, thank you. This is the ideal thickness of poop. Yeah, now you're like, what? Mine is usually not this thick. Yes. If you're eating a lot of rice or white flour, stuff that actually can bulk up, poop will be big. It can also be really long if it's really healthy. Yeah? Should be pretty long. You should be able to create this turd. Actually, you shouldn't be. I tried. It's not working. I'm still working on it. I'll let you know if I ever manage, okay? So, longness, depends on, again, what you're eating, how long it will to break off. Yeah, so ideally it will be a long sausage that slowly breaks off when it's time to break off. So then the snake poop. Anyone had that? You look down, you're like, wow, this is so thin. Usually it's a sausage. Now it's just this little. Anyone had that one before? Yes. Oh, not so many. Yeah, no, a few. What could that be? Think about an inflammation you have at a joint or anywhere else in the body. What happens when you have an inflammation? All right, we're getting a little music. What happens? It swells. So if you have an inflammation at a joint, it swells up. The same happens in your colon. Again, imagine the colon, how it is. So if now you eat something that's inflaming the colon from any of the sides, it will swell up. And the passage for the poop to come through becomes very narrow. So now you have a snake poop. Does that mean it's terrible? No. Probably if you're at a festival like this, you're eating the dodgy vegan food out there. Yeah, if you're drinking a lot of alcohol, you're only drinking coffee maybe, there's going to be some inflammation. And so that just means something you ate or something is not sitting right with you. So usually the snake poop will just go away by itself. You don't have to do anything. But if you have the snake poop for longer than 3 sittings, that is only if you poop every day. I hope everyone poops every day. If not, we'll talk about how we can fix that. Then I would be worried. So after 3 days, you're still doing pencil poop. All right, maybe we can help a little bit. Yeah, anyone heard about an enema before? Where you put water up your bum? Yes. I would only recommend it when you have 3-day pencil poop, not just for fun. It's actually not that fun, number one, but also it can be addictive. I know people in the fasting world who get addicted to it because it feels so good to be get rid of all your shit. Yeah. Because that's what it does. So, great, inflammation poop. We have the soft poop. It's almost a sausage, but you can tell it's a little bit soft. You're like, not quite the sausage yet, yeah? What do you guys think what that could be? Fiber is missing. Nothing to bulk up. Anyone on a keto diet here? Yeah, some of you may. It may also look more softy on that end. Doesn't mean it's terrible, just means it will be harder to create a full sausage because fiber is missing. Or, I mean, hopefully, if you're keto, you're still eating a lot of vegetables and then it will still be possible to have a perfect poop. Huh? So, softer sausages, basically also easy, like up there with drinking more water, just a little bit more fiber added. And then, of course, we have the waterfall poop. Most people have that at festivals. It just shoots out your ass. You can't hold it. You barely make it to the toilet. You're like, oh. What could that be? You're intoxicated. Yes. You ate something. You did something that was not right. Anyone goes to the toilet in the morning with coffee and a cigarette or just a coffee? Yeah. That's also the intoxication poop. Doesn't mean coffee is toxic. That just means that your body in that moment registers at that because it was too much, maybe it was too early, maybe you didn't have anything in your belly. So usually if the body is trying to get rid of something fast, like vomit or like diarrhea, it means it needs to be out, so it sees it as toxic. So in the moment you have that cigarette and the coffee, you're basically saying, hey, I'm gonna put some toxic in so you can shoot it out. Of course it feels good because again you got rid of your shit, but yeah, so if that is your only way to poop, start drinking warm water in the morning. Just try. It will take some time for it to be able, or for you to still be able to poop. Won't be as easy as a coffee and a cigarette, but with the tips I'll show you, maybe it will. Yeah, give it a try. And then, of course, we also have the no-show poop. Just is not coming for days. Sometimes a week, you're like, ugh. It's getting more uncomfortable. Anyone had that since they got here? Also normal. You know why? Because we're stressed. Yeah, of course we're going to talk about stress and we're talking about shit. Yeah. Because stress is shit, literally shit. And so if our nervous system is stressed, we can't hold the poop or we're holding it too much. So I want to talk to you guys about the stress responses. Fight, flight, freeze. Anyone knows about these? Yeah. So think about, let's start with fight. If I imagine I'm in dangerous forest or maybe dangerous festival like this, you never know who you're going to meet, and you want to fight. So you're there and I'm fighting. I mean, I'm not a fighter, just go with me. So let's say I need a fight. Where do I need energy? In my arms and legs. Where do I not need any energy? Digestive system. Anything up here, yeah? So let me, for anyone who's not so familiar where the digestive system is, it's all in this area. So in a stress response, when we're in fight mode, we need energy, and it's, I mean, meant for something because we're about to fight something. So we don't need energy here. So all our energy, the blood flow, goes in our extremities. Now think about flight. Where do I need energy when I'm flighting? I'm running away from danger. Same, arms and legs. So again, no energy needed here. Anyone has kids or kids in the family? If you do boo to a kid, what do? Sometimes they poor pee themselves, no? Yeah, happens. Again, it's a quick stress response, and because they're not conditioned like us, where we're like, no, we can't do that here. They just are still kids. They go with the flow, which they should. So it expels because the system says, I'm in danger because I was just in a shock. I'm going to get rid of everything that I do not need so I can survive. So the moment, again, when you sit in the toilet and you have diarrhea, think about that. Yeah? So, and then the last one, freeze. What happens if you're in danger and you freeze? Where does no energy go? Nowhere. Frozen. So now we can link that a little bit to the types of digestive issues. Let's think constipation. Who of you is more constipation side? I know we have all of it, but your diarrhea and constipation, if those are the two options, who's more on the constipation side? So in that moment, maybe you can think about also what that means if you're more in a stress response in a freeze state. Yeah, if that's your go-to, how you react. Because we're all different. Yeah? We all have different systems. And so if you're more the diarrhea type, that could be that you're fight-flighting. Yeah, it just comes out fast. So I hope it starts making sense. And so it doesn't have to be someone that shocks you, boo. It can be also chronic stress or stress that's subtle but all the time. And I'm assuming we all have some kind of stress if we're alive. I mean, look at the world. That's why I'm doing shit talk, so I can survive and laugh about myself. Okay? So think about these things. And then let me double check what else. Okay. So then we also have some other poop forms that are not officially on the Bristol stool chart. This, by the way, it was the Bristol stool chart. We have, I call it the floaty-toaty. It's the one that swims on top of water. Anyone had that? Of course, you can't check here in these toilets. But in your toilet at home, if you take a dump and it swims, you're like, that's a boat poop. What happened here? Anyone had that before? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Some people still are engaged. So what could that mean? Think about it. What swims on top of water? Fat? Yes. Fat is one. So maybe you ate a really fatty dish, so it wasn't fully digested in the system, so now it swims on top of the water. Yeah. What else? What else swims on top of water? Air. Yes. Air. And what could air mean? I mean, you're like, I didn't eat air. So, yeah. Could be bacteria. It could also be undigested pieces of food. Anyone looked in the toilet and was like, oh, I remember I eat corn. Yeah. Yeah, corn is something we can't really digest. I mean, it usually comes out. Not everyone, but most of the time. If you don't chew well, you'll see it. Exactly. What else? Cold carrots, pay attention next time. Do the test at home. Eat cold carrots. If you don't chew, they'll come back out. Does that mean they're not healthy? No. It's great. It's fiber, but still. You can also do a test at home because people ask me, well, how do I know which food, for example, is inflaming me? I look at the toilet and I see not great poop. What was the food that's doing this to me? Well, you can, of course, ask ChatGPT and get a very average number for everyone. It will say something like 17 to 24 hours. So specific. No, I'm one of everyone. I don't know my system. But there's a really easy test. Eat the whole pack of beetroot. Yeah, maybe when you go home, do it. Maybe when your diet has normalized. And then you eat the whole pack, you note down the date and the time, and then you double check when it comes out pink. Your poop will be pink. Or purple, depends on what you mix it with. It's actually purple poop. And I'm still working to make a purple turd, okay? So try that test so then you know how long for your personal digestive system it will take from mouth to anus for your personal time. So now, because people always mistake, when they sit on the toilet and they see something come out, they're like, wow, what I just ate was not good for me. No. It's about the time it takes for your personal system to go from mouth to anus. So if it's 24 hours for you, you will have to think, what did I eat? When I see it come out not well, I'm like, what did I eat so many hours before that? So you can make actually educated decisions on what's good for you and not. Yeah. And I make really an effort, and I'm also a nutrition therapist, and all my people say, I don't know, a nutrition therapist that never talks about food. And I say, because I'm not your digestive system. I don't know what you can digest. Yeah? I'm not in your microbiome. I don't see your enzymes. Of course, you can get a really expensive stool test and get it checked, and then I could help you. We'll do questions at the end. No, I lost track. Sorry about that. All good. Anyone help me? What did I just say? Anyone's paying attention still? I am not the microbiome. You all have a different microbiome. So that's why, again, said wanted to bring it back to the general recommendations you find in books. There are so many books with so many different diets that all worked for so many people. And then you try it and you're like, I feel shit. I was vegan, gluten-free, sugar-free, and I never felt worse. I want to be honest. I'm not saying that's not good. I'm just saying it wasn't good for me in my microbiome with my digestive fire. We are all really different, so stop fighting about it has to be vegan, it has to be meat, it does have to. Everyone can eat what's good for them, but start looking in your own shit so you can make that decision, okay? Don't listen to anyone else. Let everyone else talk about their own digestive system, their own shit, but you do you, okay? That's one thing that I want you guys to leave with today. And so constipation, now if you haven't pooped for 3 days, everyone knows that really sucks. That's really shit. Although no shit's coming out. There are a few hacks you can do that will help you release some shit. Number one is this poop stool. I hope anyone has this poop stool at home. Something similar. Wow. Okay. All the people here who don't need my talk, where are all the other people? Well, over there, partying. So here, the poop stool. This is the natural flow. This is the perfect angle for poop coming out. And that's mainly because we have a muscle that wraps around our anus that is not in a relaxed position if we're sitting like this. So they need to be elevated. If you don't have this, or if you're in a hotel traveling, there's an easy thing you can do. That's just put yourself on tippy toes and then bend down. Because that will still create an angle that's closest to what you're doing, yeah? So if you see me over there and you see hands shining out, that's me. That's me trying to poop because I haven't pooped in 3 days. Okay. And so, of course, at festivals, especially at festivals, we're often dehydrated. Oh, also, this is not going to work right immediately, right? You need to be giving it 10 minutes. 10 minutes in this position, and I don't want to make a promise, but try me. 10 minutes in that position, at least a little turd will come out, I think. Yeah? And if you have eaten, of course, if you haven't eaten in 3 days, yeah, well. Okay? So, literally 10 minutes, I would say something would come out. So, do we have any questions for now? We can still continue with other things and tips specifically for festivals if you're interested. But if there's already a question, yes.
Is the digesting time always the same? Because you said if we eat like root beet, and but if I eat this day, I eat soup, and the other day I eat, I don't know, chips. I don't know if the digesting time is always the same.
No, it will not be the same.
So,
but you get an average idea. Because some people will be 3 days, some people will be 12 hours, and then you kind of know. Of course, do the test when you feel like you're eating the most average how you can be eating. That's why I'm like, maybe don't do this test tomorrow when you get home, or 2 days after, because I would assume your digestive system is not normal right now. Yeah? Great. Then, hydration at a festival. Most people are not hydrated enough. Yeah? We like to drink a lot of things here, but least amount is water. Yesterday at 3 a.m., I was walking around. I'm like, all these water places are empty. I can be pouring in some water. Everyone's thirsty for some liquor. Fine. I'm not saying don't do it. Yeah, just make sure you're also hydrating so the sausage can be formed. Another thing, of course, is stress. So if you are someone who's like, Heim Scheiße, anyone, yeah, who likes to just be in their safe zone, sit at home, nobody look at me, go find outside toilets at times where nobody goes. Everyone fucked up. Go. Sorry. I don't know if I can say that here. Yeah? Just know what's good for your nervous system. If you're at a friend's house, turn up the music. I mean, I have stickers here with the poop chart that I invite you all to put in your bathroom. I have it. I ask my friends straight up, I'm like, what number was it? Everyone knows. We're friends. You're telling me about your poop. But it makes it easier for people to talk about it. When I give these talks or workshops and someone shares and says, oh my God, I have this bloatedness issue, I have this issue, everyone's like, oh yeah, me too. And all of a sudden we feel like, wow, we're not alone. We all eat 3 times a day. Imagine how terrible it is when it's not coming out nice. Yeah, so that's my biggest mission, is to break the poop taboo, to start talking about something that's so normal. Yeah, and it stinks, also normal. If you drink, it's gonna stink more. Yeah, but that's also normal. It's basically food. I mean, you're eating the food, and then bacteria digests it for you, and then it comes out as a brown paste. It's really not that disgusting if you think about it. I'm also a colon hydrotherapist, so I literally pull, yeah, he knows, pulls poop out of people's asses, so I'm definitely not disgusted. I also have a WhatsApp group where people are allowed to send me pictures of, case you're interested, find me later. Huh? But really, just for medical reasons, nothing else. Okay, cool. Just wanted to make that very clear. Okay, do we have other questions?
What do you think about bacteria and pills to support your digestion externally?
Yeah, great. Probiotics.
Yeah.
So we're talking about probiotics. Great question. It really, again, depends on the person. Usually great thing because you're adding bacteria, and most of us will have an imbalance in their gut, because I'm assuming if you eat 3 times a day, you're not pooping 3 times a day. Is that the case? Barely anyone, right? And it's actually simple math. Everyone's like, if you go to a doctor and you say, I pooped every 2 days, they're like, okay, fine. And they just check that. It's not fine. 2 times food coming in, 2 times poop should be coming out. I did not make that rule. Everyone's like, really? I'm like, yeah, I know you don't poop that much, but that should be normal. I also am a fasting coach, and when I fast 7 days, I still poop. Big sausages. We're backed up. Everyone's backed up. Because we don't eat how we're supposed to eat, and that's also fine. Yeah? So come back to your question. Sorry, got on a tangent. Probiotics are great, usually. If you have something like SIBO, where you have bacteria in a small intestine, something that created this massive bloatedness for me, probiotics are going to make it worse. Because now you're feeding bacteria. They will stop in the small intestine, start growing, create gases there. That's not good. If you're histamine intolerant, probiotics are not for you. For most other people, yes. Would I just take them? They're really expensive, number one. So if you want to take a lot of money in your hand to just know, maybe. But I would say if you're really curious, you can get a poop test, a basic one. Check your bacteria and then feed the specific strains that are missing. And of course, there's millions of bacteria. But you get a good idea on what you need, because there's mucus-forming bacteria. There's so many different types of bacteria that they will tell you which ones you specifically need. Because if you just take any supplement, yeah, in general with supplements, is the thing, you can create a disbalance where there was no imbalance. Yeah, so keep that in mind. So sometimes we have this perfect idea of being perfect and have the perfect microbiome and the perfect diet and perfect everything. But that just stresses us, and then we can't poop, so nothing's perfect. I hope that answered your question a little bit. Also, fermented things are, of course, the better option because you're not spending that much money on them, yeah? So kimchi, sauerkraut, kefir. But again, people with SIBO, people with histamine intolerance, they need to stay away for at least a little bit. I got rid of my SIBO, so now I can, but usually it will take some time. From?
Dao, from antihistamine.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
From antihistamine, like this Dao thing, you can get
yes.
away
so
you, do if the diet long time.
Yes, you, of course there are some things you can't, yeah, but many things you can. I mean, I also had a chronic tonsil infection, it's gone. I just didn't eat any dairy for 3 months, very strictly. Histamine, it's a little bit more complicated, yeah, it requires a different schedule. But even SIBO, if you really look at it, I generally don't Google anything that you have. Anyone ever done that? Yeah, looks dark in the web. Although it's not always dark, yeah? So oftentimes it will say you will just have to live with it. But I would say make peace with it in the moment and say, okay, currently this is what I have, this is what I'm living with, this is what I struggle with, but I can do something to make it better. But really continuously checking, because not all histamine is the same. I'm also histamine intolerant. And some things I can eat that other people can't. So again, check with you, because even in histamine book, maybe if you already had one, it will only say what worked for most people. Yeah? And then if you even go further, most of the studies are just made with male and not with females. And we have a different hormone system. I mean, I can continue on a tangent there, so I'll stop there.
Just one thing you said. Probiotics are not good, but colostrum?
Hmm?
Colostrum, maybe?
Yes. Very specific bacteria, yes, but most of the probiotics you can buy are not for histamine people. You will have to get one that's specific that has colostrum or other bacteria that work. Yeah.
So maybe a quick remark. I think I got told about 20 years that it cannot happen that I eat something and I directly react on it. It must be something way way back. And I think it took me 10, 20 doctors, I don't know, to really understand there is some food when I'm fructose and lactose intolerant. When I eat it, I have 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and then I have the second lowest.
It's shooting
gone.
Out.
It's until nothing is there anymore. So. The empowerment of understanding it can react that quick was a game changer for me. And that's kind of why I'm stating it's not as much a question, but please also your view.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you can react. I mean, you felt it probably in your system. Anyone who's lactose intolerant, celiac disease, anyone here? Yeah, it's okay. You will immediately feel it. So if we think about our system, we always think in macros in general, yeah? But we are made out of so many tiny particles. So any tiny, that's why with celiac, it's a great example, because it shows if there was only in the same kitchen something cooked with that, it will immediately have a reaction. So it's enough for one tiny particle for, even for people with other allergies. Anyone not allergies here? How careful are you in restaurants? Very careful. Because you know only one nut can already destroy. So, yes, because we're thinking about small, like think about cells and the molecules, and then if you start understanding that, you understand that if one, yeah, it's very chemical, but you start docking onto these and it will create hammock. Thank you, yes. Good question. She said it also starts in the mouth. So digestion, many people think it starts in the mouth, which in a way is true. But anyone ever thought about food without having food and you already feel water coming into your mouth? It's all watery already. You're like, excited. So in a way, it starts in your head. So that's another reason if you think about it, I don't know if you knew, but we have more serotonin receptors in our gut than we have in our brain. That's why we feel psychedelics first here, not here. Quick side note. So, what was the question? Was that even a question? No. I forgot, kind of. Okay.
Any more questions? Thank you.
I would like to know how much mix-up is happening during the digestion. So if I eat red food, 20 minutes later I eat blue food, can I poop a rainbow then? Or
I love that. I tried. So when I fast and I do enemas, so literally my colon is empty, I tried. But because of the bacteria composition, you can get pretty pink. I mean, it can be pretty bright pink, but not many more colors, because most of the stuff will be digested in the system and will be absorbed in the small intestine, and so will come out brown. So you can not get so colorful. Not yet. Although I wanted to try with food coloring that you cannot, yeah, so maybe follow me, and once I get it done, I'll share. Okay, cool. Thank you for that question. Rainbow poop, that's my goal. Okay, hopefully next year I'll be on the stage and be like, I made it, guys. You want to know how? I'll let you know. Cool. Other questions?
Hi.
Hey.
My question is around timing the poop. Some people can only do it in the morning between 8 and 9, and some people can just go by, I think about it, and I'm going to go and do it right now. Mm-hmm. How's that work?
There's peristaltic happening. So there's movement in your colon that will happen periodically. Mm-hmm. So there's also a time, like we all have circadian rhythm. Anyone heard of that?
Yeah.
So we have a specific organs that are activated during different times. Mm-hmm. But also it depends on how much is in your system and when you are relaxed. So if people are more slow in the morning and they feel more relaxed, the system can release more than when people are not. And so even when you're traveling, I mean, some people poop fine at home and then they travel and they're like, wow, what's happening? I'm relaxed now, I'm on vacation. But that's you consciously being relaxed. But your subconscious is like, this is an environment I don't know. So subconsciously there's still stress, so you're still not pooping.
Thank you.
Very welcome.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Any advice for period bloating?
Period bloating?
Yeah.
Well, again, for women, yes, it also depends on period. For me, personally, when I fasted, I didn't have any period cramps. I wasn't bloated, nothing. So the moment your body is fully detoxed, there should not be any bloating. But again, that happens so rarely. That only happens to me when I fast, and that's maybe 3 times a year. So usually I just live with it, and I say, hey, it's going to be worth it. That's a general thing that I do when I'm deciding between food and should I eat this or should I not. For example, me personally, I cannot eat chickpeas, but when I'm at a party that have hummus and I'm like, oh, that looking good. I want that hummus. I'm going to ask myself, is it going to be worth it, because tomorrow I'm going to be bloated. And sometimes the answer is yes, it will be, and I dive in. And then next day when I bloat, I'm like, cool, I knew that's going to happen. And so with the period, it's similar. Know yourself. If you want to experiment with your body, try to eat super clean, depending on what your poop tells you, what your clean is, not what anyone else's clean is. And then see if the bloating gets better. In general, for women, though, really important, the last 10 days before your period is not the time to do many experiments. Yeah, that's when the hormones should be, like specific hormones should be growing, so you want even less stress. So that's not the time to do any dietary stress. Yeah, so because the moment you forbid yourself of eating something specific, you're stressing your nervous system, and that's not good in the last 10 days before your period. So don't do that test right before. So kind of you can plan it for the weeks right when your period starts.
Hello. You were saying before that you should eat something and then you can figure out if it works well with you. So I poop every day between 7 and 7.30, and there's always 3 meals that I have the day before. And my poop is a mix of those 3 meals, so I find it really difficult to kind of guess what went wrong, you know, a cereal in the morning, bread for lunch, and something for dinner.
Right. I mean, number one, congratulations that you poop every day. Thank you for sharing that. Many people will be jealous. Great. That's great. I would still think if you eat three times, that poop is... you're still backed up. So I would still say you will get a good idea. Like one time, the best time you will know is when you do have ever pencil poop, and now that hopefully everyone from now on, at least a quick look, yeah, to check. When you have pencil poop and you do pay attention, you do the beetroot test before, you will know what inflamed it, or you will have an idea because of course you never mono meal, you never eat just one thing. So let's say you have a dish though and you're like, that was spicy. I always have when I have that. Of course, it takes time. And we always want quick fixes. That's why we take so many pills. I mean, from the drugstore. Yeah, so because we want fast, fast, fast. I don't want to change my lifestyle. I just want to be healthy. Yeah, I don't want to go to the gym, but I don't want to be fat. Something like that. No, that's not how it goes. Yeah, it's just to also be in peace with that. So, yeah, in a way, it will be a mix, but you could get an idea once you know how long your system is.
Just a second.
So hi.
Hi.
I've got like many issues, but my biggest one is that I'm always bloated. It does not matter what I eat, I think. And also sometimes in the morning when I haven't eaten for like 12 hours, something like this, I wake up bloated. And so I wanted to know if you know some physical things you can do against it.
Can I ask questions or?
Yeah, of course.
So there's different bloatedness. Obviously, because I was bloated, I really dove deep into that. One big question, you don't need to answer that, I will answer for both. But one bloatedness is different from when you fart or when you don't fart. So if you are bloated and you fart, good sign, celebrate each fart. Because if you have small intestinal bacterial overdose like I did, where you have bacteria in a small intestine, you can't fart and that sucks. Like you're bloated and you're like, I wish a fart would come out. So now literally when I fart these days, I'm like, yes, I'm not back at that, yes? So if you cannot fart, I would get checked for fructose intolerance and SIBO. But we can also talk later because I had the same issue, so find me if you want. If you can fart, then it's more on the large intestine. Most likely, right? I can't tell you right now because I don't know for sure, but most likely it will. The reason is this. I always say, when you have a stomach thing, it's sometimes easier because you can directly impact it by what you're putting in because it's the first attachment from after you put it in your mouth. If you need to fix something in the large intestine, well, you have the enema and other ways to enter the large intestine through the anus. But if it's in the small intestine, it's stuck in the middle of the digestive system. We were here. Yeah? So it's stuck. So again, here, large intestine. That's where all the bacteria should be. This is not where the bacteria should be. If there's bacteria and you're bloating from there, which to me sounds like that's what you have, if it happens in the morning before anything else happens. Yeah, if you drink a glass of water and you're bloated, that happened to me, could be more something in the small intestine.
Right, thank you.
But come find me.
Yes.
And then quick, before we end, because I think we only have a few minutes, yeah, let's do the last question.
It's a very quick question. since fiber seems to be the thing that dietitians and doctors always tell you about, is there such a thing as eating too much fiber?
Because yes, for sure.
I feel like if I eat a lot,
then you're constipated. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or even the other way around.
Even the other way around, I would question, but hey, could be. Yeah. Again, every part of your body is different. Yeah, too much fiber is a thing. Because also if you're not doing enough drinking with the fiber, it will create more slower passage of poop, and so will be more like the dried up poop.
Okay.
Great. We could take one more. If anyone.
Thank you, first of all. So I have a question, but I think I will ask for my sister, even though she's not here. She's a doctor, so that's the thing. So she also has an issue with, we in our family have an issue with our we're Indian a little bit. Let's start there. And we have all issues with our stomach, but she especially always was bloated. As you said, also, I guess something with the small intestines. Mm-hmm. And we felt that miso, kombucha, kefir, and meditation, weirdly enough, helped very good with this kind of stuff. And so I have the question how all of this...
It's like related.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also the question with kefir and stuff. I just go crazy. I do kefir, kombucha, mm-hmm. tempeh, all the stuff that is like connected to that.
Fermented.
So yeah, fermented shit.
It has the probiotics in there. So
yeah, so I thought that is
exactly.
Best shit,
so probiotics are, again, good if it's not... if it helps her... Most likely the issues in the large intestine, there's an imbalance there, so you put in good bacteria where they should go.
Okay.
So that's, and oftentimes when people crave yogurts, anyone is crazy for yogurts in the morning,
yes.
Then you want the good bacteria. Your system is literally telling you, like, yes, feed me more bacteria. So great, continue that.
But there was something about too much of it also?
I mean, if your poop looks great, no.
Yeah, it's all about the poop.
Yes, just it's all about the poop for me.
It's all bullshit. It's actually
I'm never going to really make ever an assumption on anyone's digestive system unless I've seen their poop. And then we can really talk. I'd be like, you think that's perfect? I don't. I'm the poop police. Maybe I should change my name. Fuck the princess. Okay, great. So now my last invitation. I mean here. Okay, number one, please everyone look at your poop from now on. Don't listen to anything you see on TikTok or Instagram. All that stuff, if you don't know what's good for you, maybe you can test what you see and then make a decision to continue or not. And then also, please continue. Take one of the stickers with the poop chart, put it in your toilets, and ask your friends what number they poop when they're at your house, so next time they feel more comfortable. Thank you so much.